Today on the Little Dum Dum Club, a brand new episode with guests Andrew Wolf and Frankie Rose Thorne. We have got a live show coming up very, very soon in Brisbane, May the 18th, Saturday afternoon at the Brightside. Special guests, great comedy. What are you waiting for, Carl? What are you waiting for?
I'm waiting for time. And then once that time is up, I'll be there.
Great. LittleDumDumClub.com. Get your ticket to that. Also, we've got our Kosamui going away party at the Creatures of Habit Bar and Band Room Saturday, June the 1st in the afternoon. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a live talking dum-dum that we're going to do before heading off to beautiful Kosamui.
Yeah, come and get drunk to say thank you to the sponsors for the Kosamui International Podcast Festival.
Yeah.
The beautiful Creatures of Habit. Can't wait.
Yes, going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk to you more in the episode at the end of the episode in Talking Dum Dum. But until then, enjoy this new episode with Andrew Wolf and Frankie Rose Thorne.
I'm going to freeze up on this one as well. I can smell it.
I hope so.
I'm going to go dead quiet and just go, oh, I've had another anxiety thing.
Hey, mates, welcome once again into the Little Dum Dum Club for another week. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dassler, and with me as always, the other half of the program, Carl Chandler.
G'day, dickhead.
And joining us today, two very special guests. Please welcome onto the Little Dum Dum Club, Andrew Wolf and Frankie Rose.
Thanks for having us.
I was kind of walking into this one thinking, oh, I don't think I have much this week, but then Wolfie has not stopped talking before the show for half an hour.
Yeah, we've blown all the good stories beforehand.
Well, so good's a strong word. But
well, this is exciting. This is exciting for us, Carl. First ever Nepo baby on the podcast.
Oh, here we are.
Wolfie's great grandpa, of course, invented crack.
Yes.
Hey!
There we go.
And we're off, dude.
Bit of Melbourne misdirection for you there, guys.
We cannot.
Very good.
That.
No.
Take that
good.
One back to Perth, one of the many tools of the trade.
Yeah, let's do a call back to the crack grandpa later. Too.
Yeah, there
let's
we
make
go.
It even more
no, no. Frankie is the daughter of Peter Rose Thorne, and I have something in common. I'm the son of Australian comedy royalty. My dad is Chris Lilley.
Oh my god. Well, it's funny because my dad's actually Rolf Harris.
Oh, right. That's cool.
I've got a pretty close relationship with Rolf as well.
Do you? Yeah. Wow. Oh,
I literally met him when I was a little kid.
Oh, that's a long time ago. Wow. Yeah, you showed his bubble board.
He's gone off. He went off me after that, after I grew up. But yeah,
did he used to do meet and greets with kids?
Man, I met him. I literally met him. I've talked about it on the pod, but I met him.
Oh, my God.
Because he was more of a... He did more kid stuff, didn't
yes,
he?
Yeah. Oh, he did kid stuff.
He did some kid stuff, all right.
Tiny kangaroo down sport. I was kind of the...
I didn't really... There was like an old Wiggles episode with him on it. That's all I really knew him from. He wasn't my era. But yeah.
Yeah, he's more... He's like deep imprisonment
yes,
by the time you're...
Yeah,
he was quite a good... He was also a great artist. Did you ever see any of his paintings?
Yeah. He painted the Queen.
I almost bought one, but then I... Because they dropped in price, and it was like it was a self-portrait, and I go, maybe this will come back.
Yeah, well, you thought it would come back.
But then I thought, I don't really want that in my office now that we've got a newborn kid. A self-portrait of Ralph Harris.
You thought once the kids that he abused grew up, like the crimes wouldn't stick anymore. Because they're technically now over 18.
Sort of like Hitler Nazi memorabilia eventually has value.
Charles Manson art has a lot of credibility to it.
I just watched that doco about the Nickelodeon and all the kids.
And there's
like a story about how they're at this like producer's house. And he's got this like room that's all Planet of the Apes memorabilia, and he's got like a painting by John Wayne Gacy, and Gacy's like signed it. He's like from your good pal.
Yep.
Imagine having the portrait that lofty to the
and
Queen.
And he molested Drake from Drake and Josh.
Yeah,
and a few other kids.
And it's got, there's an evil energy to it. Hey, I would never want it because I think they've actually outlawed. You can't buy Nazi memorabilia in Australia. The laws actually changed.
That's just toxic stuff.
Well, it is.
What are you
going to
do with all?
What are you going to do with all your furniture, man?
Of swastikas and everything. Yeah. Exactly.
You should start painting, Wolfie. I can see you in 20 years' time. People talking about.
I'll wait until his
paintings are actually really good.
I'll wait until I'm in prison and got time to kill.
It's a shame about what he ended up doing, but God, his artwork was really.
And it's really weird, given that he's in prison now, that we're still calling it outsider art.
It's mainly sort of finger paintings and feces. Hey, smearing my name and yelling hateful words. Which is Perth comedy, really. That's the style. Feces smeared on a wall pretty much sums up the whole scene.
We're a bit obsessed with Perth, and this is the second ep in a couple of episodes that we've had double Perth guests.
Really? Who was the other two?
Ben Russell and Tor
Snyder. Oh, okay, yeah. They don't really count.
If you've got a smelly toilet, you need to talk about it. Hey? It's in a horrible place, and it's obsessive to go, like, how bad is it? But, Maybe we shouldn't talk about Perth.
I'd love to talk about Perth. I want to put it on blast.
God. Yeah, Perth comedy. It's our favourite sort of comedy. If we had to pick a comedy, it's Perth comedy.
Well, it is. You know how you're doing that bad comedy thing? I'm like, that is worst
Perth. Of Melbourne this podcast.
You know how you've got that? Do you have the bad comedy
worst of Melbourne comedy?
Worst comedy?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, just fucking come to Perth.
Go to any lineup.
Any lineup will beat any of your shows.
Going to Perth and putting on a show called The Worst of Melbourne Comedy. Perth Edition. Perth comics auditioning, and you're like, I'm sorry, you're not, you're not Melbourne enough.
Worst of Melbourne comedy roadshow, and we bring it to Perth.
That's good.
It's like if I could sell tickets there, that's like selling ice to the Eskimos.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
When do those shows start? I'm so
it's starting as
them.
Of time of recording, starting this week, but this will come out.
Mate, there are a lot of comics keen to get on. Alessio was keen. People are asking.
Yeah, a lot of bad
to get in.
Yeah, when there's a gig saying bad comedy, yes, I know there's a lot of bad comedians.
Yeah,
I get
so
it.
Good.
Yeah,
it's
a lot of people in the episode that people will have heard. We did a little Frankie, to explain it to you.
Okay,
I registered a show in the Melbourne Comedy Festival called "The Worst of Melbourne Comedy," just because I thought that's a funny title.
I think that would sell well. Too.
Yeah, then I had to figure out what the show was. Right, but then we had an episode live.
This show possibly.
Yeah, that's why you were messaging me. Yeah.
When's your flight out? Can you push it back by a couple of days?
I did think that. I did think that. So then on a live episode we auditioned and we had a few people. I put it out there into the ether, into the Melbourne Comedy Rooms Hub on Facebook.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, who wants to do this as a paid gig? Because I'm just fascinated, like, who would put their hand up? Fucking, even though I said I need someone who's bad at comedy, there's a lot of people hitting me up. A lot of people going, I'll do it. I don't mind performing under the banner of this guy is fucking shit.
I actually love it because it's a no pressure gig.
Yeah.
You got to hand these messages and this research off to like a sociologist because it says so much about the human mind that it's like your message saying I need a 6 out of 10 at best, and then the switchboard lights up. Yeah. It's like. People are fucked in their head.
It's like, we've got the test results. The people who said yes to this are fucked in their head. The person who put out the request is fucked in their head.
But it's actually elite marketing, man, because it's like that liquid death water. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's the reverse.
No.
Have you not heard of liquid death?
No.
And that's water?
It's in a can and it's like got this really metal, like, you know, font to it.
Oh, so it's like a drink.
It's water in it, but it's meant to kind of look like a beer.
It's meant to look like a beer.
But rather than saying refreshing, they're like sort of toxic,
it's a completely opposite
shit.
Thing.
But it sells it's the biggest selling water out there.
I pissed in a can.
Piss in a can. Or
so that you can drink a water at a party and look cool
and
like
cool.
You're drinking a beer.
Oh, it's water.
It's straight water. It's just normal water, but it's marketed as like
liquid death.
Liquid death.
So that's you.
That is
you're the liquid death of comedy.
You're
Melbourne comedy.
Stand up, man. It's elite marketing. It's the most progressive.
Did they actually suck? Were they actually bad, or were some of them okay?
They weren't bad enough.
It was really annoying. We had two complete randoms come in, and they were actually both legitimately quite good.
They were fine, and it was like it was annoying because they were like,
"Did you give them any tips on how to get worse?"
It's literally a thing where I was annoyed. Where it's like, I mean, I really thought you would only put your hand up if you sort of sucked a bit, and these guys were fine, okay. And they're like, they've just snuck under the radar to get another gig.
That's what I thought it'd all be. It'll be people just desperate for a gig anyway.
My God. Where is it being held? Out of the city?
Spleenbar.
You should have had it like a few hours out of the city to test their commitment.
Yeah, a little bit. No. A few suburbs away.
It's near Ayers Rock.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's actually a 5-hour commute to the gig.
Stage in the Pokies room.
Yeah. No, but this is like, it's funny because after we've been talking about this on the podcast for a fair while now. And one of the guys out of the Chaser rang me up I'm obsessed with your idea. You know, I've got all these ideas for it. It should be like this. You should play the music like way too loud, and you shouldn't put the chairs upside down and fucking, and you know, just only have like really really bad people. And the MC should yell over the top. And I'm like, no. I know you're trying to design the worst gig of all time.
Yep.
But I don't want to kill myself halfway through the gig. Like, I want it to be funny and bad.
Yeah.
Not like for everyone to try and fucking attack me at the end of the
gig. Of course it appeals to the mentality of someone in the Chaser, though.
Yeah.
Every person
it.
On stage should be dressed like Bin Laden and making fun of kids with cancer.
Yeah.
Get them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking. But there'll be big cameos on that show, I reckon. Are you getting Chris Lillian or doing Jonah
my
from Tonga again?
My dad.
Oh, your dad's coming
it's
in.
It's my dad.
Oh my god, someone has to pretend to be him and do Smash.
I'm just remember I'm half fake Asian when you talk to me.
Oh, I forgot about Ricky. Was that the character?
I forgot
Ricky?
About your Asian heritage.
Yeah, my fake Asian heritage.
Yeah, well, you spend a lot of time there. So.
Maybe I'll come down and pretend to be Rolf Harris.
Please.
Oh
not getting
God.
On stage, though.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just in the green room.
Just lingering around. Being a pest in the green room.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Full costume. Like, when are you on? Oh, am I on?
Yeah, maybe you should host Class Clowns as Rolf Harris.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good one.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's really good.
That'd
be great.
Thing.
You come on with a wobble board and just be like, wow, this is great. Yeah. This is funny. Yeah. They wouldn't know. But the kids would not know.
Kids would not. Yeah.
At all.
Because Class Clowns is for people at home. Is the final.
Yeah,
like
high school is
doing
comedy.
High
school is
doing stand-up comedy and whatever. So the kids wouldn't care, but the parents might.
Yes.
Yeah. I think
they'd
respect it.
Yeah.
I think the kids would just think it was some kind of weird, you know, like Tim and Eric style avant-garde thing.
That's
the kids would be into it. Yeah, you're right. The parents watching offstage.
That's
like,
funny you're saying they're just standing in the green room doing that. Because I when I was really new in comedy, there was like maybe like the fifth gig I'd ever done. Went to this bad, you know, this sort of bad dive bar gig, and I remember going into the green room, we're sitting around, and then I just noticed there's this guy that had just been standing there for a while, and I hadn't noticed because he was standing there so still. Yep. And it was just the guy who ran the gig, the booker, and he'd just been standing in the room not saying anything, but dressed as Joey Ramone.
That is so good.
For absolutely no reason. And it's like, oh, are you going on, are you doing
costume
a character?
Costume party afterwards or something?
Yeah. And the guy... That was dressed up was like in real life looked like George Costanza or something.
But you mean literally he was in it, not just it was a man wearing a leather jacket.
No,
like he was in the full getup,
full
costume.
No, but
normal person looked like George Costanza normally, and then he looked completely different. He's like Joey Ramone, and I'm sitting there going, "Are you going on?" He's like, "No, I'm not doing anything tonight." Okay, and I'm like new enough not to chase it any further.
He's found his new look. Because you see people like that dressed as Elvis occasionally, but I don't know if they're going to their job.
Yeah.
Do you know when they're in that?
Yeah.
Or, you know, a homeless guy that thinks he's Jesus.
Yeah. It's just very weird to report to this guy for 5 minutes and he's just dressed.
Have you ever wondered, you know how the people think they're Jesus if they get to like an insane asylum and there's like more than one? There'd be like 13 Jesus. Do you think that would be like... They'd finally work it out and go, well, he looks more like
me. Do you think that's the point they become
saying? No, but you're in there and you're going, holy shit, there's 12 Jesuses, there's one Elvis, and then there's, you know what I mean?
Well, the people running it are like, we got to keep all the Jesuses separate. Like, if they interact in the break room.
No, but I think maybe the exposure therapy is they go into a room and then one Jesus will come in, they have to, like, deal with this, but then they'll bring another in. It's like a slow process.
Just gradually.
Bringing more in.
But you work it out because you're like, dude, I don't even have a beard. All these other guys have the beard, the long hair. I've been kidding myself.
All right, guys, I'm out. I'm obviously the worst one here. I'm sticking.
Can have, you know, they get so many, they go, okay, we can have one fat one skinny one, that's all right? We could have two now.
But that would be a fun place to see it because they'd have Elvises and they'd probably have Charlie Sheen, but that would actually be Charlie Sheen, hey? Trapped in there.
Yeah.
So topical.
When are these people going to insane asylum?
I don't think they run them anymore.
I think
they're allowed on the streets now.
Yeah.
We have a whole comedy festival for them.
Yeah. I've been going out and I've been bumping into a lot of them too.
Yeah. A good idea would be you open an insane asylum, but you're like, we only accept Elvises.
You know,
that's a bit of fun. That's only got people that think they're Elvis
in there. Fun insane asylum. The one where someone's pretending to be something.
The theme
cool.
one. Sorry, you want the Charlie Brown one down the road.
Yeah,
those are the expensive ones though. It's hard getting into a sane asylum. It's really hard. To get in.
I've almost got in. It's not been that hard. I've been examined for a few days for a glass screen.
If you've got the gift. He's got the gift of the gab.
My parents have threatened me many times to go along to one. I think it's quite easy. If you're licking that glass, they keep you in there.
I know what you have to do.
What do you have to do?
You have to threaten suicide in front of a police officer or harm to others in front of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
in front of an authority in person, you have to threaten.
Do you know what? I've got a friend that did this.
He says this pod is an education.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Everyone's learning,
man.
I've got a friend that did this once. He goes, he was drinking and driving. So not approved, but this is what he did. Not that I approve.
No one endorses this.
No one endorses it, exactly. So this guy was drinking and driving. He was having a really, really, really tough time of it. And he was going through a mental episode and then started drinking heavily, then drove to work.
Yep.
And just before he got to work, like a block away, the cops pulled him up and he's like, oh my God, I nearly got away with it and now I haven't. So the police pulled him over, then got him out of the car and then went, oh, we're going to breath test you. And then he just went mental and just went, oh, well, that's it. I guess I'm fucking... If I don't have my license, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to go fucking mental. I'm just going to throw myself off a fucking bridge.
Yep.
And that's it. So no need to lock me up, officer. I'm just going to... That bridge over there, just let me walk over there and I'll fucking end it all. That's it. If I can't have my license, and just went so crazy like that, that at the end the officer went, where's your work again? Just over there? Maybe just pop over there. Just leave your car. Just leave your car.
Wow. Yeah.
So then he went over and just got to work and went, I cannot believe I got away with that.
That's unbelievable.
That's unbelievable. Also, extremely negligent of the police officer. But then, so a week later, did the same thing. And he got caught again, and then forced the cries, forced the tears, and everything. Yeah. And I think the police just didn't buy it.
Yeah.
The police just didn't buy it. Didn't see the follow through. And
nah, mate. That's a wrap.
Oh, yeah. Being midway through it, and then you clocking and going, this is the same cop from last week. I fucked it here.
No. That's unbelievable. I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah,
it'd be harder for guys to do it. I know girls who have cried. Like I know a girl who was driving stoned, got pulled over, just started bawling, being like,
"Oh yeah,"
really started to panic, and then we're like, "Oh no, you're good. Just keep going." Before she had to. But I don't think you can pick up weed on a breath test. I mean, I think some of them do now, actually.
They can,
but
in that
it's
bar.
A separate test, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But then I think her eyes would have been red, but whatever.
Yeah.
It was from the crying.
Yeah.
No, have you seen that one? I think it's on RBT, and they do a breath test, and the guy looks absolutely fucked.
Oh, yeah,
fucked,
and he was zero, zero.
And he's just
a
mental.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a crazy guy. They're like, this guy, he's like, this, his eyes are rolling, he's got a steering wheel. And they're going, what are you on, brother? And then they had to bring more people in to try and check. And then, like, no, he's just insane.
Yeah. He's just absolutely insane. There's no bus for that, is there?
Yeah, he's just fucking...
This speaks volumes about what's going on over there in Perth. You've referenced one very specific bit of one episode of RBT, and Frankie's immediately like, yeah, I know that one. Classic. We all remember where we were when that episode aired.
Because that guy eventually got into Perth comedy.
Right.
He's running
beautiful
rooms.
Sweet Caroline.
Yes, he does.
He got the breath test. They went, you're insane. Instead of going to jail, here's the Comedy Lounge just down the road.
Yeah, Johnny McAllister gave him a call straight away and said, I've heard we found our new headliner.
Yeah,
Mr. Methane has lost his spot.
And now he's running three separate rooms in Perth and they're doing really well.
He's a room booker now, actually.
Nothing wrong with that.
Frankie, you're over here, you're performing in the Melbourne Comedy Festival in the Comedy Zone.
I'm doing Comedy Zone.
Showcase of new comedians.
Yes, a select few.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty awkward, yeah.
And they give you sort of like a mentor director.
This year,
the director of the Comedy Zone is friend of the show, Brett Blake.
It is Brett Blake.
Now I'm dying.
Yeah.
I'm dying to know what kind of guidance Brett Blake gives you.
Are you better at comedy than you were a week ago, or are you just much better at coward punching people?
Oh my God. Everyone opens with good day, legends.
I said that bit to you. Fuck you. You're so big.
You gotta get in quick.
I told you that bit a few days ago.
I have heard from Brett Blake himself. I have heard I'm being bullied because everyone gets up. All of you, there's five comedians in it, and all of you get up and go, g'day, Lincoln.
Yeah.
That is so fucking funny.
I would never speak badly about my coach. I'd never disrespect him like that.
Hang on, is he sort of more of a Demir Dokic type coach?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's more like, it's fine.
Have you brought in the funnel? Have you been drinking from the funnel?
Oh, yes, we have been doing that.
I assume
that.
you're doing big blocks of alcohol and basically getting drunk at the Cooper's.
He has us on steroids.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. For special comedy steroids.
Yeah, right.
It's such a weird to think of, like, someone coming in to mould the youth and a comedy technician. And then it's Brett Blake who's, I think, he's more known for his volume on mic than his skills as a writer.
Well, you know, the cost of living's hit the Comedy Festival. They couldn't afford microphones and amplification this year. So that's why they get Brett in to coach the Comedy Zone.
Right. Yeah.
So they can all just scream over the top of the audience and not need a microphone.
Yeah.
And they're saving costs.
What's been like one of his good tips that you've got, potentially? His insights that he's put on the whiteboard.
What is literally, what has he said about you?
He doesn't. He's been pretty chill. Like, I think he's not trying to micromanage at all.
Right.
But he's just being supportive as possible.
Did he say to you to speed it up and yell more?
No.
That's what he told you.
No. Hang on, hang on. He hasn't said much. He sounds really drunk when he's turned up to your meetings there, I reckon.
Like, yeah, I think so.
Is it true that is his protégés, you're all staying with him in the annex of his tent?
Yes, we are. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Great.
We're actually on a trailer park. We all sleep in the same bed.
Do you take? Yeah, it must be hard to take advice from someone who's in a gutter as he's saying it to you.
Does he still live in the tent?
No, but I was just I was down for 2 nights, like right near where he was camping, and it was good to remember those. Good to remember that beautiful episode we did when he was
must be out
of a breakup and living in a tent for a week. And he said, "Come down and record an episode." And we went down there and we bullied him about his current living situation.
Mate, you were holidaying in a tent, mate. His home is not a costume, all right?
Yeah.
No. I wasn't staying in the campground. I was staying in a proper house up the road, and I walked past.
Okay. But look at him now. He's coaching the zone.
Exactly.
It's all come good.
He's now the teacher, our sensei. Yeah, he's making. Making no sense.
This
guy's making no sense.
Well, we're on. He's taught you well.
That's beautiful. 12 noon to 4 p.m. Yeah. So on the big issue, 4 p.m. till 8 o'clock, coaching the youth of tomorrow.
Yeah.
What a big work day.
Yeah. I don't know. It is really just the Hey Legends thing that's
has
really
cooked,
that
he taught you how to
us.
Cook food on an iron?
Yeah, that's like, where were we talking about this? Maybe on a bonus set, but there was a guy who started around the same time as us, and he would do this workshop about like how to make a living off just doing comedy.
Yes.
And the workshop would be like, guys, step one, move in with your parents. Yes. Step two, get rid of your mobile phone.
Yes.
Step three, only eat 2 minute noodles for every meal. And it's like, I mean, this technically is how to live on just comedy, but would you call that living?
Is that life?
Like, dude, you're like 40. What are you doing?
Yeah, you can cook potatoes in the engine of your car. Stupid ideas.
Yeah, that guy was great. He was sit up the back. He did a big seminar once in the back of a bus with Nick Cody, and was like, he was telling Nick Cody, "Yep, bring a cheese sandwich from home in a plastic bag."
Oh my god,
that's how you make it in comedy. It's like, and Cody's like, "Mate, you've been doing comedy 15 years more than me, and you're sitting in the same bus as me, going to the same gig."
Was he being ironic?
No,
like, he was being. So yes. Was his actual tears.
Yes,
you'd have a better life on Centrelink, to be honest.
Yes,
yeah.
He probably was on Centrelink still, most likely.
No, totally.
That's the hidden secret of all comedians are basically on
Centrelink.
You'd
have a better
life
working a couple of shifts at a cafe a
week.
Yeah,
honestly.
You know what I mean? If it's that or like, or just be living off fucking rainwater out of the gutter.
You'd be having a better living just living with your parents still, but just staying there, not coming and bombing an open mic every night.
His parents, by the way, live like an hour and a half out of the city, getting the train, having a like.
Why is it sounding two trains? This is sounding a lot like me. Why are you guys describing my actual life?
You lived a life before.
Yeah, I had
stories
before.
You know, so
before.
You were doing comedy and you had dignity.
Yeah, I've got some dignity.
Yeah. I say you live with your parents twice in your life.
Yeah.
Once on the way up, once on the way down.
Once from 0 to 20 and once from 20 to when you die.
Yeah. So good. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. That's so funny, just walking around your parents as a grown man being like, can't believe I'm back in this fucking shit.
But also, I just remembered we've been hanging shit on this guy for living with his parents for 5 minutes and then going, oh, fuck, hang on, Wolfie does that. Wolfie has done for years. Sorry, Wolfie.
Yeah, but it's cute when Wolfie does it.
Yeah, dude, it's all fun for me, hey. It's charming. It's charming.
How are you renting a podcast studio out but you're still living with... Why don't you just sleep in the podcast studio?
That's
what are your priorities
The
right
wisdom
now,
of youth,
you know?
Hey, Carl?
Yeah, we've
that
got
a great point.
That's actually right. We do have
a pod
studio.
Do you still have
in,
that one?
Yeah, it's really nice in North Perth.
And you let anti-vaxxers go fucking ramble in there for half an hour. It's ridiculous.
They ramble for hours.
Yeah, I'll let you guys, I'll pay for this studio
and
you can
they're
do
not,
that
they're
thing.
Not called anti-vaxxers, they're called Perth comedians, okay?
Thank you.
By the way, my message to Frankie about the pod was, ever think about any answers, anything from when you're on The Amazing Race, or honestly, just anything we can bully Wolfie about.
Yeah,
right?
It's all about bullying.
You've seen half the message and it's white noise under the bottom and it's like, I'll focus on that.
I was going to be like, I don't even want to, because you would turn, there's nothing embarrassing that you could really be embarrassed about.
Yeah, man. Because I've,
but then I think to get you is to get the people you hang around.
Yeah, well, you got
to
target.
And to hold you accountable for your choices.
No, but the thing is, there are no choices. It's a small place. It's a small
not
pond.
Here, and you're still hanging around the flyers here. We're in Melbourne. We're in the heart.
No, but it's accidental.
Everyone's around. There's no
I'm a people pleaser.
There's no accidents.
I'm a people pleaser. There's, I don't want to be mean to people.
You, I had to give you my address twice to get you to come here. It was hard work.
You're willingly going to the Exford every night. Yes. That's not an accident.
They've let me back in.
You know? Tell us, yeah, tell like, us about this. Last time you were on the podcast, you told us about how you got banned from the worst pub in Melbourne.
Yeah, you got banned. Catch me if you can.
Yes. That was it. People chased you around.
And I was laughing and joking. It was jovial. It was very fun.
Benny Hill style around the Exford, the worst pub in Melbourne. Now, you got unbanned. I know this because you took me to the Exford the other night.
It's unbelievable. I went back and I thought, there's no way they'll remember me. As soon as I arrived, they said, no, mate, not ever. Fuck you.
They had your picture on the wall of the Exford with a cross through.
And I broke it a deal. I said, come on, it's a bit of a joke. And then we got...
Hang on, what's the deal? You broke the deal.
I had other comics vouch for me. And they're like, he was joking, he's a good guy. And then they got the owner, the manager, the two bouncers, and the agreement was that I'm allowed back in, but we agreed, if I fuck up again, they can take me off camera and beat the fuck out of me. And I was like,
Double or nothing.
Hang on.
I'm fine with that. You think that's a deal? And I said, what a great deal.
How's that a deal?
I can't wait. I can't wait to be leaving in an ambulance in the next 2 hours. So that's my deal.
There's not many comics that come to the Melbourne Comedy Festival and get other comics to vouch for them just to be allowed in the door of a venue. Not even about the gig or any stage time.
Dude, you know what I almost did though? Because I thought this might happen. But why? There's accommodation in the Exit, and I go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to book a fucking room.
Oh, nice.
I'll be like, actually, I've got
Trojan horse. Yes.
I've got keys to one of your shitty bunk beds up there. Wow. Let me in and let me get bed bugs with the rest of them.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a nice bar though. It's fun there because no one judges you. Because no one can judge because it's the bottom of the bottom.
Yes, it's the Melbourne Star Wars bar.
Dude, it's actually a comforting place, rock bottom. Yeah. Hey? You don't
Mum
feel judged.
Mum and Dad aren't around. It's awesome.
That bunk bed is a step up for me, man. Yeah, but I was
so yeah, bunk bed is a step up.
It is, literally. It's actually a ladder up there, yeah.
But
lots of steps up.
That bunk bed is actually a Tom bunk for me.
Yeah. So it's amazing. Like, I'll keep you posted, but the story has a happy ending. I'm back at the Exford.
You're back at the Exford.
So how long is the question?
Yeah.
I don't think that's happy for you or them.
Yeah, because I must say, night two, I was cut off from booze. So, it's already sort of bubbling.
But you're still allowed in the venue, and you're doing this like a couple of hours before you go to the airport. So this trip, you've successfully managed to not get banned from the Exford.
Yes. Banned overturned. Loud and proud. I'm back.
What do you think when you get cut off from a bar, right, where you've already brokered this deal?
Yeah.
Where if you fuck up, you get taken out in an ambulance. You've got to the point where you've drunk so much that they've cut you off. How do you even let yourself get to that point where there's that?
Yeah, it's
that
very dumb.
Holding above your head.
And then the worst, comics started buying me drinks because they wanted to get bashed. Hey? They're like, Wolfie, let me get your pint. I want to see you with the paramedics.
That's
you
good.
Fucking loser.
You just
That's
know good. There would have been one of those security guards who'd brokered that deal with you, just praying that you are, just wanting the excuse.
Dude, you know the fun?
Not just about you, but just like the opportunity to bash anyone off camera.
The funnest night was the next night because one of the bouncers didn't know about it. And he goes, no, mate, you're not coming in. I've seen the video. And I'm like, no, dude, you're not
how
up.
How legendary is this story?
I say, you're not up with the thing. We've broken a deal. Yeah. I'm back, baby.
Now, have you been literally anywhere else in Melbourne? Because so far, you're describing this trip to Melbourne as literally every night you've been into the Exford. Yeah.
No, I've gone to the artist bar, and then I've wandered the streets. The second night,
Wait, what artist bar?
What's it called? The fucking Festival Hi-Fi
Club.
Festival
Club. Yeah. Right. But how did you get in? Do you have a pass on?
You're not an artist.
I talked my way in, man.
Yeah. Wow. They were so strict.
Did you
go up
to Susan Proven and go, if I fuck up,
you
can beat the fuck out of me.
Bash me off.
The festival boss can beat the fuck out of you.
I did a joke that Brett Blake taught me and they believed that as a comedian. I did a pullback.
You put your little Angus Young school uniform
go,
on.
Come in,
I'm part of the comedy zone. I'm 14 years old.
Susan, I'm sure you've heard the big news. I'm allowed back in at the Exford. Now, how about a schooner of Young Henry's?
Now, that's an affiliate venue of the artist bar up here. So.
Yep. No, but I wandered the streets one night because my phone died and I didn't know where I was.
Oh, and I ran into you.
Yeah, someone ran into me at 7 a.m. I was still walking.
Oh,
North Melbourne's hard to find.
Hang on. Now, your phone went dead.
My phone's dead. I didn't have money. I lost everything.
Yeah, but... Yeah,
so
but
I'm just on the streets. I have to just use, homing pigeon skills and find the
Yeah, I heard
place.
About this from
Yeah,
Meg.
Someone spotted me.
Concerned other individuals.
Yeah, yeah. So we saw him at 7 a.m.
So you didn't know how to walk home or get home?
No, I walked home, but I was just kept getting lost.
Right.
And I've realised I've hit peak form because the junkies were actually crossing the street to get away from me.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm the monster now.
So you're trying to
Holy
find
shit.
Where you're staying in North Melbourne. So you're just walking down the street. You're seeing the South Melbourne market. And you're like, oh,
yeah.
I fucked it here.
Turn around.
That's what I'll tell you. Hot tip.
Too many. I'm seeing too many dim sims down here. Yeah. Turn around.
That's
the other direction.
That's the hot tip for anyone out there. Turns out North Melbourne Hotel is in. It's to the north.
It's to the north. Yeah.
Not
you,
to the south.
Carry
west,
a compass
east.
On you. Because yeah. the battery
Do you ever think of your children in those moments? Do you ever think, oh, I'm a father?
Yeah, it's very. It's
do you,
very
ever, do you ever think of those moments of your children, aka the Comedy Zone, to
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Brett Blake?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think of them?
Oh, no, man. You can't say that. That makes me feel really mean. It makes me want to cry.
Oh, sorry.
Nah, it's good. It's fine. I'm over.
It is Easter weekend, too. So you were doing this instead of hiding chocolate eggs out of the backyard.
They've gone away.
Oh, okay.
They're in
Rottnest. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah,
so
that's good.
They're
not
off
thinking
having
of daddy.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have a fun story about you, though.
Yes.
Oh,
at Beer
God.
Fest. Do you remember?
Oh, you can't give the Beer Fest.
Yeah,
well,
I have a video of it as well. Then you push the guy. Woofy was bombing so badly at this Beer Fest.
Which
festival.
Was normal. That's normal for me.
Yeah,
right?
in Perth and then in Fremantle. And then there's some guy started heckling you and some fat guy in a chair. And he's like, oh, look, the beanbag's talking.
That's funny. Yeah, yeah. That's good.
It was
that
so funny.
Good.
But you were just, and people were getting up and leaving because you were getting really aggressive.
It wasn't
and
great.
You were going I'm not a TV man. I'm right here. I'm actually right here. Then you start walking up to him. I'm actually right here. And then you push him.
No, but you know what actually
he's
happened?
Sitting on the chair.
What? This is
I
not
have the
making
video
me look
of
good
it.
Here, Frankie. Hey.
I have the
no,
video.
No, he actually said to me, I said, you know I'm a real person, right? If you spoke to me like this in a bar.
You called him a beanbag.
Yeah, but I said, if you spoke to me like this in a bar, I will fucking knock you out, possibly. Yeah. And then he goes, I go, I'm serious, man. You got to be more respectful to me. I don't, I'm a real
what
person.
What was he saying to you?
Well, just lots of horrific
terribly.
Shit.
Right, right.
And then I said, literally, dude, I will come over there and get you.
But he
and
was
then,
banging
and
so
then he, g- and he said, you'll do fucking nothing, mate.
That's
a great call.
I've got the video.
And then I said, well, I guess I have to fucking follow through.
Yeah.
But then I went and pushed him.
That's
I didn't
good.
Actually, I just pushed
yeah,
him
Yeah, yeah, he
bit.
Just put, he went a little bit back on his chair and
right.
didn't completely I've fall
sort of pushed
off.
Him
I'm looking for the video.
The I'm not a fucking monster.
I'm yeah. looking for the video.
Oh,
I've got the
video.
I got a video of
beautiful.
It. Beautiful.
It is great, though. You call this guy a beanbag and then he says stuff back to you. You go, come on, man, I've got feelings.
I was
listening for that.
Dude, it was a good burn. Yeah. A beanbag with a hat on it.
That is nice. I like that a lot.
It's a decent burn. I was proud of that. Yeah, that should have got them back. That's why I was pissed off. That's good enough to get a crowd back.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay.
Oh, shit, dude. But yeah, if you see that video, maybe we can put some music to it to make
it
sound
I think
a bit
Mickey
more comical.
J did.
Yeah.
Mickey J put Cover Girl behind
it. Oh, that's
it or
good.
Something.
Yeah, put Cover Girl
yeah,
to
here
it
is.
It's not as horrific.
Oh, yeah.
I started recording when I knew it was going to get really bad. Yeah, here we go.
I don't think our video is good for this format.
Yeah. Okay.
No, we can.
No, we can commentate it. We can see him jump
we're
off
seeing
the stage.
We're seeing a walk off.
Oh,
oh yeah, yeah, wow.
This guy. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's aggressive. I like it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know.
Did the guy complain? Did
he was fine with
it,
eh?
It's fine.
He was fine.
Yeah.
Nothing ever comes out in Perth, eh?
Yeah.
There's no consequences.
I forgot
there.
This is Perth.
Yeah.
There's no consequences.
I did something much worse that night.
Oh,
do you remember?
Yeah, I know what you did.
Yeah.
Do you want that on the pot?
I feel like it's probably maybe I'll wait a few years until it's a little bit more distant.
Oh,
yeah. Damn.
Yeah, yeah, that's hot gas. I reckon you should.
But no, but actually, no one gives a fuck about him.
Yeah, but don't give him the air.
Yeah,
bury it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then it's tantalizing. Do it some other time.
I just kissed someone awful that night.
Well, at least Wolfie got something
out
of the night.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I thought that kiss was amazing.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
You guys probably wouldn't even know.
You kissed a beanbag?
No, I kissed a beanbag.
God.
Yeah, yeah.
You were the expert security cameras for that one.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah.
But what about, you told me the other night, Wolfie, that you're losing weight. You're getting fitter at the moment.
You are looking good.
I've lost a lot of weight. I've just cut out food. That's how you do it.
What else though?
I just have alcohol, but no food now. But what else? I got on the Ozempic.
You're on the Ozempic.
Oh. I was on the fucking Ozempic, but I had to come off it because I got Ozempic face.
Yeah,
it's what all wrinkled mean? Up like a prune.
So
I've
yeah,
got like a,
you're all wrinkly because you've lost all the weight.
Oh. Like
your
my forehead
face really slims down.
I have more wrinkles in my forehead than my dad, who's like 76. And I'm like, it's fucked me up badly.
Because you lose it too quickly.
You lose it really quickly and the skin becomes like paper and it just fucking...
Yeah,
so
right.
I've got furrowed brow now. Right. I look like I'm always worried. But I am actually always worried.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to blame that all on Ozempic.
Yeah. Oh, but dude, I lost so much weight. It was incredible.
Why did you go on Ozempic? You were never like... You're not fat.
Oh, I was just like... All the big stars just were doing it and I got looted.
He's a big Oprah fan.
It was
how
a big
much
trend.
Was it?
It was actually expensive because early on I couldn't get Ozempic. I was on Saxenda, which is the more expensive version. It was like $400 a month.
Right. Yeah.
And then you got to needle inject yourself every day. But you know what the problem was? I actually started getting lazy and was skipping the needles. I'm like, I can't be fucked.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
That's when you know you're going to be fat for the rest of your life when you're actually going like, you know what?
Oh, the needle's too
I can't even pull the needle out and inject myself to stop me eating. Right. I'm skipping needle days.
Yeah.
Like skipping leg
days.
Trying to
drink it out of the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I wouldn't recommend it, hey. I've always been quite an ugly guy and I've dropped at least 2 points. I went from about a 5 to a 3.
Yeah, okay.
You're
skinny
never
three.
Happy.
Fucking
you're never
skinny
happy.
3, though.
Yeah.
But do you need a prescription for it? How hard is it to get?
Oh, dude, it's just slung. I've got a Zimbabwean doctor. He gives me anything.
Great.
Okay. I pretty much walk in, Google something, and he'll just give me a script
him. Well, I guess we're going to find out in Thailand. Could you get a Ozempic over there? You can get everything else. I wonder if you can get that.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Off-brand Ozempic.
Yeah,
probably.
I'd say so.
You've
got the fake Valiums and the fake Viagra, surely.
Well, but it'll be like... You know, it's such a great lens to view culture as a whole on because you go in and you see like what brands are being ripped off. Like, you know, when Beats by Dre became big and then you go over there and it's like, wow, they're big enough to be being knocked off in Thailand.
Yeah.
So that's the like critical mass point for Ozempic.
Awesome.
If they catch on and they're like, hey, this is worth making a fucking dodgy version of
to sell.
I can't
wait to be asleep. And skinny with a massive heart on over
there. Let's get on it.
For about $3.
Let's get on the Ozempic when we get back.
Yes.
Rail thin, wrinkled up.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you'll get like a special massage where they jerk you off and inject you.
Yeah.
So it'll be like a whole experience.
Yeah.
Like,
you go. The massage is a distraction.
Yes. You leave there satisfied and skinny.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Jerked off as I lose weight.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, mate. Living the dream.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
So off the Ozempic.
I came off. It's a relief.
Okay.
But then it's changed the way I eat now, so I don't eat a lot of food, but I feel weak and tired all the time.
So what does it do? It just like tricks your body into thinking you've already eaten.
You just have that, when you're hungry and the reflex kicks in and your body lets you know you're full.
Yeah.
You just feel full the whole time.
Right.
So you have no urges to eat.
Right.
But it's actually very depressing because food's such a fun part of life and then you have no desire for food.
Yes.
So now what I've left.
Yeah.
But you don't need it if you're walking around until 7 a.m. trying to find your hotel.
True.
That's great.
It's enough stimulation already. Yeah.
I think there is.
Yeah, how much do you eat if you're walking for fucking 18 hours a day
and you still
need a drug?
Yeah, it's much cheaper to just forget where your hotel is. It's a much cleverer option. But I think there is a fake Ozempic going around, so you've got to be careful, boys.
Okay.
There's one that doesn't work and it's just fat people needling themselves for no reason.
Right, that's
it's
the one that the actual diabetics have to get now is the fake Ozempic for their actual medication.
Yeah, I think that's actually what happened. It was quite bad because all the diabetics weren't able to get the meds, so they cut it off.
Right.
I wasn't aware of that, but I also think being fat's a disability as well, in a way.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? You can die from a heart attack.
Are you on Dexys? You're not on Dexys, are you?
No, I should be, but I'm not.
Yeah, that will help you lose weight.
Really?
It suppresses your hunger all the time.
Oh.
I've had 2 today, I haven't eaten any.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I had a bit of dip today.
Hang on, how are you the one that's been on Dexys today out of the 2 people?
Oh,
because
I worked all week. I've been doing the long weekend at Triple J, so I had to do night stuff and get up in the morning and it's just been so long and crazy.
No, I've had a lot of different medications where they say, oh, this will affect your appetite.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, dream on, it never does, and then got on the Dexys and
it's like
well, I'll be damned.
Yeah.
I'm going all day without just even thinking about eating. It's fucked up.
It's really good.
Get on it, Wolfie.
Get on it. You can be Dexy's Midnight Walkers.
Yeah, that's a good move.
But don't you get all that sort
Dexy's
of...
Dexy's 7 a.m. Walkers.
Don't you get that dry mouth with the white sort
little
of foamy
bit.
Thing?
Little, I don't get yeah, the but foamy thing. You don't have to get the...
I was actually on
You've
them when
got
I...
You've got that now.
Out of
I know. Yeah, yeah, I'm salivaring for some reason.
We should say for long-time listeners too, you told me this when you turned up, you are staying at the Miami.
Oh, mate, it is such the place, dude. I love
Miami.
That place.
The place in North Melbourne, is it about, what's it gone up to, about $60 a night now?
Yeah, but it's actually the
that
best
cost of living crisis has it's really ballooned the price of the Miami.
It's like a little family down there. I love it now.
Yeah.
You're in there. Cooking in the kitchen. Yeah. It's my new home.
Yeah, cooking what though, meth?
Yeah.
It's my new mum and dad. Because when you're living at home in such a destitute sort of setup, everywhere's up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that hotel, I'm like, we are living large.
Now,
they've got soap.
And again, and again, 40 minutes or whatever we are into this episode, it just clicked and reminded me, you're my stockbroker.
Yeah, I know. We were ahead quite heavily like early in the year, but then it's turned around.
God damn.
So we're always on the up or down.
My
you know?
Comedian friend of the show, Michael Hing, messaged me the other day to go, did Wolfie have you on whatever this share was?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, at one stage I think. And he went, there's a class action suit coming up.
So who knows, you might end up making quite a lot of money out of this, hey, if the class action goes
against
through.
What? Against that or against Wolfie?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's against me. Yeah. I didn't want to mention it. Yeah, no, dude, you were up. So I should have got you
out
of
bed. Yeah, but
that's
not a good story when I say you were up. I want to hear you are up.
Yeah,
let's sell these shares.
I like your summary of the biz just before you go, it's how it works. You're either up or you're down. Yeah. Oh, is that how it works?
You've got to keep it simple for the populace.
No, I want to hear the saying, you're always up with Andrew Wolf. I don't want to hear the possibility of
but
down.
But how down is he at this point?
He's down about 30%.
Fuck.
That's bad.
That's a
third.
It's not the way we trade because we're looking for 5Xs, 10Xs. So it's normal just chopping the water. It's normal.
This money.
You know, like when you're on a plane and you go, it's just a bit of turbulence. Drink service will resume shortly.
I mean, my head's hit the fucking roof of the plane.
I'm like,
but
yeah,
anyway.
the pilot has jumped out the plane with a parachute.
Yeah.
But drinks will resume shortly. Have a safe flight.
Yeah, they're seatbelts for a reason.
No, look, we'll get there. It's just not as easy as it looks.
Yeah.
Trading.
Yeah.
I'd watched a lot of Billions.
So
I thought it was
looks really hard.
In terms of where we are in the money, because this money was officially supposed to be for to buy a bar in Thailand. So at this point, instead of it being anywhere near owning a bar in Thailand, I believe they've brokered a deal with me at this Thai bar where they're going to fucking take me out of there in an ambulance at this
point. Yeah, 100%. Mm. Well, you've got enough now maybe to set up a rub and tug with Zempic.
No, I don't. I don't have anything because I'm 30% down on what I gave you.
We can buy a piece of wood and have a hole in the wall and you can get your dick pulled off and they'll put a Zempic needle into it.
You can buy a glory hole in Thailand with what he's got.
Yeah, you'll get a glory hole
so
and someone can inject.
I'm going to have a glory hole business
Zempic
over there and they're going to say, wow, where'd you get the money to set this up? Well, I just burnt a bunch by giving it to Wolfie and then I did this.
Yeah, well, you know, we've learned some lessons. So we're on the up. We're coming back.
What I
guys.
Feel like every time as I bring this up, because I've now had this money with you for years.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe how long it's been.
I feel
really.
Like you.
It's the start of the pandemic, right?
Yeah, I feel like you always just forget about it. And every time I go, how's those shares going, Wolfie? All of a sudden, I get a flurry of emails from whoever the share people are that go, oh, there's been this movement made. It's like,
yeah, there's a little bit of activity.
Yeah, it's like Wolfie thinks I'm on my way to Perth or he's on our way to Melbourne. We're on our way to Perth.
Yep.
He's going to come face to face with me all of a sudden.
Dude, it's like.
Stocks start to get.
It's
traded.
Like cleaning up your house for a rental inspection.
Exactly.
I'm running around tizzing shit up, going, holy fuck. They punch holes in the wall. We're going to fucking move some of the picture frames.
Yeah, a lot of
Jesus
furniture walled
Christ.
Around. Yeah.
Let's hide that broken toilet. You know what I mean? Yeah. But no, it's all's well that ends well.
Okay.
Carl.
All right. Well, I'm, you know.
You're just your random, like, grab bag of sayings that you just pick from.
Yeah, but I watched a lot of Wall Street growing up. I just used
what about
meme.
This? What is
meme
it now?
Trading.
1st of April. Okay. What can we do in. We're going to the Coast Family Podcast Festival in about 10 weeks.
Okay. Well, I
what
have
can
to
we
move,
do?
You're in something now that, like, will double back. So that would be up. You're up 50%. But if we need to make it move quicker, I've got another rocket. I'll move it across.
Faker Zempic. That's what I want to get into.
Yeah, I'll move it across into. It's a similar sort of drug. It's a kidney treatment drug.
Yeah.
And that can. Should 3X. So
okay, all right.
You might, You know how much you might end up work.
Let's
three
go short.
Times.
Let's go short term.
Okay, I'll go short term.
What can we do in
10
weeks?
10 weeks. What can we get?
I
want to
buy
on?
Something cool in Thailand
but
in
what,
10 weeks.
Do you want to actually say the number that you've got? Or
no,
like,
no. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. You can. I can. If I get a bit more risky with the trades,
yeah,
I can,
go for
I can
it.
Do it.
Go for it. Go okay. High risk. High risk.
You want high risk?
Yeah. You're signing off on this.
Yes.
Okay, high risk. I reckon I can triple it.
Fuck yes.
Because let me remind
there
you,
we go.
You've lost 30% on something that was low risk.
No, but you were up 50% in February.
Yeah, right.
So what?
Yeah.
Well, two of the wells were dusters. I didn't know. Who knew?
He initially put all my money into a cure for COVID, which went fucking nowhere.
Oh, yeah. Mate, but yeah. That's coming back now. It might get approved.
Well,
you think this like eighth wave of COVID that we're having is
that stem cell thing is actually the way forward. It'll eventually get approved and right. I'll end up the king.
Yeah.
So do you have any choice in what he does with your money?
You
put it into whatever.
He's the man. That's why.
Yeah,
that
you just leave it yes. And then you go.
Okay. I see this man who lives with his parents and go, yeah, you're my superannuation.
It's so good.
And he's taken that money from you and he still hasn't moved out. What does that tell
you? Brokering the deal with you in my jocks and my parents' back.
He's my stockbroker. He's come over here for the weekend, done two gigs with me. He's made more money off me than I've made money off him in 4 years.
I made more money from his gigs.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. You're his stockbroker.
Yes.
Ultimately, you are my stockbroker.
Yes.
Broker, my broker. Yeah,
stock,
fuck.
Stock broken.
So I'm broken, bro, from this tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Guys, you know, this is what I get from coming on a podcast with 3-40-year-old guys. Fucking stop.
Hey, I'm 37, thanks
very
much.
Oh, okay, sorry, yeah. Sorry.
I've still, got a couple of years left in me.
I'm 54, dude. You've got wow. I'm much older than that.
You're looking good.
Yeah, the Ozempic's really working.
Fuck. Yeah,
Carl, your stockbroker was telling us earlier about a fight that he got in with a meth head over the Easter weekend.
Oh, my God, dude. This place is unsafe. Melbourne, they don't want us here. Hey, the universe.
I feel like it has gotten slightly methier from the last time I was here.
Oh, really?
I feel like it has. Mm. Yeah, because Perth, I always say, is the methiest of cities.
No, you know actually what happened? It was a crazy guy, meth head, that ran up and tried to attack it. But he had attacked another comic earlier in the night.
Who?
Worked it out together. Well, I don't know if they want anyone to say that, but he attacked someone else.
Okay.
And then what happened is he came running up to us and he was like, come on, mate, you fucking let's go. And I was with some other people. I was with like some friends. And then he goes, come on, let's fucking get started. And I go, all right, let's go. Because I thought he was actually going to fuck me up. So I took my jacket off and then wrapped it over his head and sort of like, I don't know how I did this. I'm not a fighter.
Yeah.
I must have seen it on YouTube or watching UFC.
You don't need to say I'm not a fighter when you take your jumper off and wrap it around.
I wrapped it around him.
I might have gotten this move from watching the UFC.
Yeah.
They're wearing jackets.
And
you know when Conor McGregor jumps in the ring with a fucking big sweater on and then pulls it off?
So we had him tied up and I was sort of banging him around and stunning him. I was stunning him and then he came back up and he was fucking... a lot more angry, to be honest.
You're like Bugs Bunny. Yeah. Someone provokes you. You've just got the perfect physical. Yeah. You're pushing him.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
hog-tying.
All of a sudden, Wolfie puts on lipstick and puts his sexy dress on.
Wolfette.
But then we were with a comic's daughter, Finn, who's like the best, and she basically jumped to my defense. So I was holding her back, and she went up to him and goes, come on, one hit, and you can hit me and I'll hit you back.
Yep.
And he was they're lining up, and then she just clocked him. And it was like the biggest boss move I've ever seen in my life, dude. She defended me. I was ecstatic. And then what happened is we're like, mate, we don't even know you. We want to go home. Bye.
And is this the night that you couldn't remember where you lived or was this a separate night?
No, this was the night before. No, so anyway, so then we're like, bye. And it was all diffused. But then we were lingered around too long. We were deliberating on where to get food. We're like, should we get Chinese? Should we get this? Like just 50 meters down the road. And then he just came from nowhere. With the two girls and just not just swarmed us. He came back. Yeah, they had been there early on, and he just came and fucking swarmed us.
You got reinforcements.
Like, you know that, like when we come to Perth and it's raining or something, people will say, "Oh, you brought the weather with you." You brought the perfect.
Yeah, yeah, you brought the
perfect.
100%.
Sure.
It very much felt like Northbridge on any night.
It does.
And then he just knocked someone out, and it all ended there, really.
It's like the meth, like, sleeper agent, where just, like, Wolfie's presence just, like, you know, they fire up. They just get activated.
Right, there's
something in the air when Wolfie's around.
It's like Blood Moon, hey, and it all comes on.
Exactly.
It almost sounds like you were the problem.
Yeah, well, look, when I look back on my life, I always feel to be involved in a lot of it, hey, the original source.
You guys like, he started a fight with us.
Yeah. Dude, I did not. I defended him. Yeah. I defended us. Well, not really. I held her back, but she defended us.
Yeah.
Finn looked after us. I was so proud, dude. What a boss move.
Yeah.
But the lesson is to just fucking go and get food quickly. Right. Don't fuck around.
Don't walk around in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it was also 3:45. Not a really good option.
There you go.
I would never, ever punch someone for you.
Really? Oh, my God.
As a 21-year-old, I'd never do that.
Dude, it's cool as shit.
I'm trying to think what the scenario would need to be for me to be like, I'm going to leap in here and protect Wolfie's honour.
Yeah.
No offence.
Yeah.
No offence taken.
I would. I would be more likely to take a job at the Exford and I hope for you to fuck up and punch you.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, that's so good.
I heard
Wolfie comes back here next year, you and me out the front of the exit with lanyards on, just flicking off the security camera.
Yeah. Just say to the bartender, I heard he took a piss on the jukebox over there. Let's get him. Let's get him.
I had heard a couple of Melbourne comics have put their CV in, hey.
Really?
Potentially.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, fuck. Scary times, hey. It's going to be good to get back to safe Perth.
How does this trip compare to your last year?
They're always very chaotic.
Frankie was on The Amazing Race.
Yeah,
and
but
whatever
let's talk about the street fight, sure.
Whatever you did on the Amazing Race on TV must have sounded like a fucking piece of piss compared to the last two or three days of
no
Andrew
way,
Wolf in
no
Melbourne.
Way. Yeah, yeah. I'd rather be in India. Like, yeah. I'd rather be in the Delhi markets, probably breathing in some disease.
I'd rather be in the Delhi slums with my dad than hanging around with Andrew Wolf at 3 a.m.
Yeah, literally.
In South Melbourne.
Whoever shows up.
How was it like in India? Was it fun?
It was good. It was craziest place in the world.
Fuck.
Yeah.
How long do you guys go there? Is it all just for cameras and you're only there for like a few hours or in each place? Like, do you run around a lot or are they
we run around the entire time.
So it's
nothing slow about it. Yeah.
Do they look after you? Do they have security? Because they are.
Yeah, there's security.
Like, not that.
Yeah, well, we were on the show with Beck Judd. And she's Chris Judd's wife.
Footballer,
like, quite a footballer, like, very famous wag.
Massive
and
cooker, yeah.
She shows up. I think she has an activewear brand. And I think she was wearing the activewear. And I was like, country is like, you know, I'm going to dress pretty respectfully, even though it's so hot. Mm. It's 50 degrees. Yeah. Like, it's the hottest place I've ever been. And then she's like wearing this like lycra. I'm like, oh, okay. Slay. Like, it just a bit worried for you.
Yeah,
but all right, you know.
Yeah.
And then there were guys on the street jerking off to her.
No!
Yeah.
No!
Yeah. They were with their dicks out.
Wow.
As she's walking around. I didn't see it personally, but I heard about it at the end of the day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Because I remember thinking that.
Did they get that on
like,
the show?
Amazing Race up late.
Yeah.
You see the guys jerking off.
Yeah, I guess the Indians really are an amazing race.
Yeah, yeah. Check out this amazing race.
And she's seen that and been like, okay,
we've got some traction here for the activewear.
We're going to open up our first international store.
There's an ad for it right after. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm collabing with Lululemon.
Yeah, it's like, I thought she was the one supposed to be active. It sounds like they're a lot more active.
I liked it. You did do a very graphic act out of the whacking off, that's clearly the tutelage of Brett Blake.
true. He taught me. He was like, do it like that. I'll show about it later. I'll show you how to do it later.
Oh, my God.
You did the act out and then you were like, I didn't actually see it, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't actually see it. That's what I pictured. Because I was in there and I remember thinking like, oh, I'd hate to be
like, not that my dad would ever protect me in any sense in the city, like, he'd just, like, you know, but, like, I was thinking, I can't imagine being two girls, like, doing this challenge by yourself, especially, I remember going, like, oh, I wonder how they're faring right now, because it's hectic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of just groping as you're walking through, but, like.
Yeah, it gets a bit like that. There's a lot of people on the street.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. It's, like, it is truly.
You think your dad would just be, like, stop jacking off over my daughter, you beanbag?
Yeah. Well, because at the end of the day, I was like, oh, no one jerked off to me all day, you know? Like, I didn't see one dick
She's
out.
Feeling down.
Yeah, I was feeling a bit down.
There was just a bit those
You're like wearing a boot just, tube, is yeah, that what yeah. Are you not entertained?
There was just six guys jerking off to the guy from Catholic Kim.
Yeah. We love him.
Yeah, you weren't topless
but
in a G-string.
But I can't remember
point,
if he said, I have a joke about this and I can't remember, I think he probably did say this or maybe I made it up in my head. But I was like, oh, no one jerked off to me, like trying to be funny. He was like, oh, I would have jerked off to you, love. No, I think it's beautiful.
Hang on, who said that?
My dad.
No!
That rules. That's awesome.
I think he said this.
That's so funny.
You're not even sure he said this. It would have been hilarious. Like,
you're not even sure.
No, but he's very funny like that. Because I would have been, But now I do a bit where I say that he said that to me.
Yeah. I'm sure you
can. And then I say my dad's Rolf Harris.
Yeah, that's
the celebrity I was talking about.
Because he's here for the Comedy Fest in town in
Melbourne
as well.
Oh, he's here for Chicago. He's in a musical, so he's just coming around with me to places afterwards.
Did he time that just, because I saw that on the billboards and everything, did he time that just so... Is he in town with you?
No. He signed that off because we were so broke. So he's just like, I have to do a musical now.
I thought it was more like, I need to be there with Frankie in Melbourne.
Because
there's people like Andrew Wolf walking around. Yeah. And like, oh.
I did see him on a scooter and he didn't say hello to me.
Oh. So, he would have loved to have seen you. He was excited that you were in
town. And Brett's directing Chicago as well, isn't he?
Yes.
Give me the old razzle dazzle. Pop six quiz. Legends.
Yeah. It's not over till that fat bitch sings or whatever.
Wait, the name on everyone's lips is going to be Legends. He's a Chicago line.
I haven't seen Chicago, so it's lovely.
Oh, I thought you'd be a big fan of the
No,
Hobbit,
I love musicals.
The name on everyone's lips. It's Emu Export.
I used to go watch them in London. They're so fun.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm happy.
Oh, wait, I went and watched your sister's one.
Oh, yeah. Wolfie went to my little sister's high school musical.
Dressed as Rolf Harris.
Why? Why
yeah, because we had spare tickets and we were invited in.
And it was a great production.
Yeah, it was a good production.
I did feel a bit weird and creepy. But
no,
did you?
We were front row. We were front row and it was me and I think we brought Mickey J as well.
And I get really
Wolfie's in the front row going, don't worry about me, I'm part Indian, just pulling his dick.
I get excited though, you don't realise, I'm like a dog around fireworks, I'm clapping.
Yeah, you are.
I was very dramatic in the crowd.
What was the production?
Legally Blonde.
Oh, Legally Blonde.
It's a great production. And they had I like
the idea of, I come because there was, had a few spare tickets. They're spare tickets to a fucking child's fucking musical. Yeah. Let them be spare.
And you know what the musical is this year?
What is it?
Chicago.
Oh,
isn't that funny? Nice.
Yeah. I have to go.
So if your old man does well at Her Madge or whatever he's at, he'll get the part in the high school
music.
He has to Billy Madison it and roll at the school in order to be in their production of Chicago.
No, he started and the music's been going for a while now. So he didn't plan it to be like in Melbourne one night.
Okay, right.
That was just a coincidence.
Yeah.
What's his main song that he sings?
Mr. Cellophane. And he sings a big belt at the end. It's actually he's quite good. But it's just like,
go.
Then I
fucking this awesome, dude.
Beat magazine reached out to me before I left for Melbourne.
Mm. Is that an Indian magazine?
Oh,
yeah. There we go.
Good shit.
Brady Blake in the house,
good
baby.
Yeah. Beck Judd.
I want to be the mentor.
Beck Judd has a resident spot on the front cover. No, they reached out because they were just like asking about Zone and Comedy Festival or whatever. And I answered the question. Being like, I'm sure everyone in Zone is being asked to do this interview, and then like two out of the six questions were about Dad, and I'm like, that's surely that's fine. Like, I'll just answer those, and they're over email. They're not on the phone, so there's no tone there's no tone that's meant to be put in anyway. It's a written up article, but then they made the cover a photo of me and Dad from Amazing Race, and the quote that was like huge and bold is like,
he's a 60-year-old man. I'm a 21-year-old girl, but we have the same sense of humor. I was like, that's a fucking quote you used, and the photo and all everything they put in there was from what I said about dad. I was like, fuck, I have to be so careful.
Well, it's better than the quote. Oh, my dad said he was going to jerk off over me.
Right, yeah.
They'll see that on stage.
I just like you assuming that everyone's getting those same questions. Hey, Meg Yeager, what do you think about Frankie's dad?
About her dad, you know? Yeah.
Hey, Brett Blake, what do you think about Frankie's dad?
He's a fucking legend. His name's Brett. Oh, my name's Brett.
Yeah.
I love that documentary he did, Kath and Kim.
Documentary.
All right, guys, we better wrap it up there for another week on the Little Dum Dum.
That was a quick one. I liked it. Yeah.
No, it felt quick because Wolfie talked for 50 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought I could barely get a word in.
Yeah.
When has that ever happened in any conversation with you?
I'm actually run down and tired at the moment. I would have talked more. Thank you so much for having us on, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Frankie, you're on Triple J.
I am on Triple J, I just... There was 3 minutes of dead air today, so that was all my fault, guys.
What happened?
I just closed a tab that was supposed to be closed, and then the whole system just went out. And they were like, what's going on in there, Frankie? I was like, sorry.
Wolfie, ever experienced that? Three minutes of dead air? That ever happened to you?
I've never had it. I don't ever have silence.
You'll punch someone if there
is. Even sleeping, I sleep talk. So it never ends.
Just screaming in your sleep. I can fully
imagine
it.
Having night terrors again for the whole 8 hours.
Eyes closed. Why do you hate me?
Why doesn't anyone love me?
Wolfie's one of the best comics. He's going around everywhere. He's always popping up in Sydney and Melbourne, Perth especially, the home of comedy.
Yep. We'll be there. I don't really have anything to plug. Go along to a lot of the shows over here.
Oh, what about your podcast? Don't you have a podcast?
Oh, sure thing. You can have a listen. It comes
that
out.
That studio that you rent.
Actually, fuck, we got a studio. We better get some more apps out. Yeah. Listen to the sure thing. We're coming back strong, baby.
And it is like a stockbroking sort of...
No, it's actually just rambling jokes and screaming into the abyss.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We, it crosses a lot of lines. It's probably
copyrighted all of that. You better change it back.
Yeah, so listen to that. But I reckon go along and watch some of the shows. Definitely go and watch Comedy Zone.
Yeah, come watch Comedy Zone.
I don't know when this is out, but if it's if we put this out, then go to Comedy Zone.
I'll be in Sydney for the next once this is finished anyway for 2 weeks.
Great.
Yeah, so I'll do stuff there.
There you go.
Check Frankie out. Check Wolfie out.
Yeah, see you. Go on.
Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you, mate.
And they've done it again.
They have. Them's done it again. Mm-hmm. Tommy? That's Tommy and Carl.
Yep.
Good on them.
Yep.
Finally.
Yep.
This is almost like an episode from the archives. We did this early in the comedy festival, just going, you know what?
I reckon this is a month ago.
Yeah. When there are people in town, let's grit our teeth. Let's bang out some midweek podcasts.
Yep.
Let's make sure we can have a couple of weeks off after at the end of it.
Yep.
And so this is...
And then still have to come in and do this.
Yes. Yeah.
This was a rare one for us, though, because it was like right at the start of the comedy festival. So it wasn't as much of a gritting teeth as like when you're doing something on the final Sunday.
Yeah.
This was like, oh, it's just kicked off. Everyone's in a good mood.
Yeah.
And
also, you know, you're kind of thinking like midweek, oh, we want to save our content for the weekend. Or we can just wind up Andrew Wolf and let him fucking go.
Well, yeah, this is one of those ones that happens in like the Bermuda Triangle. You know, it's like time doesn't count, content doesn't count.
Yeah.
It's bonus time.
Yeah.
Always good to catch up with Wolfie.
Yes. Wolfie was in town for a couple of days to do some shows.
Yeah.
In the comedy festival, and we thought we'd nab him just before he fucked off.
Yep.
Before he his voice completely went from just nonstop talking to fucking everyone around him.
Yep.
Yeah.
My dog hated him when he turned up, which is pretty rare.
Yeah. Really?
Frankie on the show for the first time.
Yes.
Good to get her in.
Yes.
We talked about her a little while ago when you introduced me on stage in Perth as being the new face of Chicken Treat.
Yes.
And for about 48 hours, she thought that was real.
Yes. Chicken. I've still never had Chicken Treat.
I had it at the airport after this last time we were there.
Really? Is
for
it at
breakfast.
The airport?
Yeah.
I
it
didn't
was
know that.
Terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
God damn. Yeah, I've always heard about it, and it's one of those, you know, one of those things that the more you hear about it and you haven't had it, the more it sounds amazing.
And for the amount that you hear about it as like a Perth, you know, regional curiosity, you actually never really see them around.
Yes.
Certainly not like in the bits of this, like when we go over and we're doing shows like sort of fairly inner city, there's none of them. They're all like pretty suburban, I think.
Yeah.
So they're pretty easy to miss.
I love going to Perth. You know what? We better start thinking about when we go to Perth again. It's going to roll around quick. It's fucking, you know, it's May when this comes out. Mm-hmm. We've got live shows coming up. Obviously, we've talked about that. Brisbane, very, very soon. That's on the May the 18th. We've got the Kosamui going away party.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got the Kosamui International Podcast Festival. That's in mid-June.
Mm-hmm.
We might have another little capital city being confirmed very soon. But Perth, we should get onto, Tommy.
Mm.
It's, do you like going to, I mean, you know, you're always in the past like you hate Perth, but you officially have come around, haven't you? Or not?
I don't mind it.
It's all right. Okay, yeah. Well, that's coming around for you.
Yeah, yeah.
For you going on the record and saying, I hate Perth, saying you don't mind it, that's a big jump.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
It's fine.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So that's a big upgrade.
Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't mind going there on like a holiday. It's good weather. But anywhere to do this is like, yeah, we're going and doing the shows. You know what I mean? I don't feel one way or the other about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do. I all these cities I love because it's like you get to go and do a show and you get the best of it. You get a few beers, you get something fun to eat, you get a nice hotel.
Yeah.
It's like this.
I do like being in a hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
Being in a hotel is fucking great.
Yeah. Have you said that? Now that hotels are. The next couple of shows we're going to be doing, sort of, are going to be in and out. We don't even get the hotel.
Mm.
That's a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
But that's also very fun to fly into a city, do a show, and then fly out and be in your own bed by the end of the day. It's sort of pretty jet set lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, actually. And not have to fuck around with early morning being hungover and trying to get in a fucking Uber to the airport.
Yeah, that's annoying.
That's very
that
annoying.
Does take the sting out when you've got, yeah. You get there and you're like, why did I book this fucking flight home?
Yeah.
I may as well have just, yeah, raced back.
I saved $20 by getting this 7 a.m. flight instead of the 2 p.m. flight.
Mm.
Bad decision.
Yep.
But anyway, lots of that stuff. We had such a great run of live shows in Melbourne. What a fucking goddamn pleasure to have you guys come out. And you were great crowds and really into it. And I think we brought the thunder, so we had a nice little symbiotic relationship.
Mm.
Long may it continue. But also, another great relationship is the relationship between us and the well-heeled listeners of this show.
Yep.
People willing to put their hands in their fucking pockets and pay what this thing is worth.
Yep.
And that is whatever you want to give to us.
Yep.
so thank you to everyone who gets onto patreon.com/littledumdumclub that facilitates. That's the website that facilitates all of this happening. And we have lots and lots of people that do that, including a little sampler of the sort of people that do that.
Mm.
We're gonna mention them right now, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the wonderful people at the UTA, the Unplanned Title Alternator. They're going to spew out some random names at us. I haven't insisted on this for quite a while, but this is not rigged. This is completely random.
Oh yeah,
you never know who you're gonna hear.
Whoa,
yeah, it's crazy. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah,
every week.
Even you don't know.
Yeah, even I don't know.
Wow,
it's exciting to walk in here thinking, I wonder what names I'm gonna read out, and I have absolutely no idea, Tommy.
Mm.
It's like, oh God, jeez, like so must be like bungee jumping or
something. Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Just jumping off.
It's like you're on Thank God You're Here.
Yes,
anything could happen.
Yes. And you haven't been worded up or anything.
No, no, no. You're just about to get the costume popped on your head. Yeah. You're like, oh, what's this?
You haven't seen people walking down the hallways at Channel 10, like already in costume and thinking and going, oh, well, okay, I guess it's the
that's fucking medieval.
I guess it was, yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm in a cave today.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. All right, thank you very much to Patreon subscriber. First cab off the rank this week, Dave Rogers. A nice Dave little Rogers. Line and length to start with. Yeah. There's you think there'd be, you know what, I reckon there's more Daves in comedy than there are that listen to comedy. I don't think we read out Dave that much.
Yeah,
for a very common name.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting hypothesis.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know how we would go about proving this one.
Yes. Feels like, you know, that was always a bit of a cliche. There's so many Daves in comedy.
Yeah. There hasn't been a new Dave for a long time. I know that a lot of the old Daves, they're still going, but there hasn't been a new Dave come along in quite some time. So I feel like that argument is sort of losing a little bit of momentum.
What's the new Dave?
I feel like there's a lot of Toms around.
There is.
I got to say.
Yeah,
it's
there
creeping,
is.
It's creeping in there, I reckon.
There really is. Yeah, how's it feel being the new Dave?
Not good.
Yeah. There's not... Yeah, but there's not that many Tommies.
No.
A lot of Toms.
Yeah.
Not so many... is there another Tommy? Tommy Dean in Sydney.
Tommy Little.
Tommy Little. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The biggest one.
Tommy Dean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tommy Little.
Tommy Dean, Tommy Little. Tommy Tiernan.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to go international.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tommy Bahama. He makes those funny shirts.
Oh, yeah.
He's a comedian.
That's funny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
Yep. Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy.
Yeah. The film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a comedy.
Yeah, he I've seen that film,
that
Get
man.
Up.
I've seen that, I've seen man that at the cinema.
seen that film, Get Up and Do a Tight Five. Yeah, yeah, that's fair. Yep. Yeah, but Dave's been left behind.
Mm.
Is there that many Tommy listeners of this show? I don't think there is.
Now, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Do we have more Daves or Tommies?
Yeah.
We need all of you to weigh in.
I'm gonna go back through the Patreon subscribers. There is, fucking hell, there is not that many.
Of what? Tommies?
Do you know, would you like to know how many legit fucking Patreon subscribers we've had with their first name Tommy? Would you like to know?
Two.
One.
Nice.
One.
And is it a fake name?
No.
Is it like Tommy, you know, last name, please suck me off?
There's a few of them. But okay. Yeah, right. But no, that's why I said legit. There's a few there that I would question.
Okay,
that,
the validity. They're sure.
Slightly questionable names.
Yep.
Like 1/5 of this whole fucking show. But yeah, no, there's one legit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
If there's more Tommies out there that listen to this show, put your hand in your fucking pocket.
Mm.
Is it just that you don't listen, or is it that you don't subscribe?
Yeah, or is it, and what, do you not subscribe because you feel weird about someone hosting the show who's got the same name as you?
Yeah.
I can understand that.
There is, because let's have a look at the Carls. I feel like there's definitely more. One. Two. That's it.
Wow.
Well, that's something.
Double the number of
Double.
Tommies. But I can understand. I would never go see a Tommy Little stand-up show because I'd be like, what, I'm going to go sit in a room and watch a guy with the same name as me up there? That's absurd. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, that's fair. I would never.
How narcissistic can you get? Yeah.
Why would I pay to see a Tommy when I get Tommy for free at home?
I can just look in the mirror and see that.
I can talk to myself and get it for free. Yeah. That is crazy. Yeah, it's like working at the milk factory and then going home and paying for milk.
Yeah,
like, no,
if you've ever interacted
take it home.
With anything or anyone that's got the same name as you, you got your head up your ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you've paid for it,
yeah,
it's like you earn too much
You're
money.
You're vain.
Yeah, yeah.
You're arrogant.
Yeah, Dave. Well, Dave Rogers, I'd love to know if you've ever paid to see a Dave do comedy.
I wonder if he skips out on episodes with O'Neill and Hughesy and Thorno. You know,
has he ever been to see UMI? Or has he thought, why am I paying for someone with the last name Rogers when I could just be home singing in the shower?
Yeah.
Doing a bit of Purple Sneakers as I'm wiping one out.
Yep. Is he a fan of Bowie?
Oh, yeah. Dave, because of David?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Or you think it's got to be Dave?
No, you're not that's allowing fine. David. That's fine. I'm fine to accept that.
Let us know. Let us know what forms of Dave media you do and do not interact with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who you're proud of, who you're not.
Mm.
Well, thanks, Dave Rogers.
Thanks, Dave Rogers.
Thanks. Thank you to Patreon subscriber Lisa Longley. Finally, the fairer sex is represented on this Patreon read this week.
Finally. The sister of a basketball player.
Yes. Look, it can't be too far off. Mm. There can't be too many Longleys out there.
By the way, I was going to say, Dave Rogers, I think, is the name of the guy who was the head of Challenge, a organization that does a lot of work for kids with cancer when I was in the mix.
Mm.
They organize like camps and stuff like
that.
Back
before you quit.
Back before I quit. And I was thinking about this the other day. They would put out a newsletter magazine like once every couple of months, and Mark Knight would do a little cartoon.
Herald Sun cartoonist.
Herald Sun cartoonist, who...
Editorial cartoonist.
Quite right-wing, put up some pretty dodgy cartoons in the last few years.
Mm.
Really sort of gone a bit off the deep end.
Right.
And people are a bit like, this prick. You know, he's here, he's having a fucking, you know, he's like pro J.K. Rowling and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But but in my head, I'm like, yeah, but he did cartoons for the Cancer magazine.
Yeah.
I find it hard to get too on board with the, like... negative sentiment towards him because I'm like, nah, he's all right by me.
Yeah, I think, yeah, he's a guy, you know, he did the editorial cartoon for fucking 30 years in the Herald Sun, something that, you know, back when I used to read newspapers and whatever, it's like, oh, you could always look at that and go whatever. But, I mean, it must be hard to not go that line when you're working for a very right-wing newspaper.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think he's that right wing, but I think he's just like, oh, I have to go with the flow at some point.
This gets a react, and you've got
to also just a bit of a dumb guy, maybe.
Well, and you're drawing a cartoon, so there's got to be something. This is kind of what I was thinking about when, in terms of like music criticism, when that Beyonce album came out recently. It's kind of a hard job because like you can't just write an article going, she's done it again. Like that's boring. That's not going to get clicks. You know, so much of like a lot of criticism is like, I have to take a deliberately contrarian stance. You know, and be like, here's why this Beyonce album is worse than the fucking Peppa Pig album that came out a week. You know what I mean? Like, everything has to be like a clickbait point of view.
Entertainment
and like,
rather than a fair review.
Right, and like newspaper editorial cartoon is like kind of the same thing where it's like, not necessarily that this is how I see the world and think this is what happened, but this will make a funny little cartoon that'll get people talking. You know what I mean?
Well, like comedy, you got to say something to get a bit of a reaction.
Yeah, you got to be... You got to be provocative in some way.
You got to sometimes say, this sucks. And it's like, oh, I actually think it's okay, but I was trying to make you laugh.
Yeah.
This
sucks, and this person has big ears, so therefore that's a great cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone doing something prominent, and they've got like a big old schnoz.
Yeah.
Oh, get the fucking parchment and quill out.
There's a very bad review of the latest Rolling Stone album on Pitchfork, and it's like, I know everyone talks about Pitchfork, that site, like they're so snobby and all that sort of stuff. It's such a bad review of that album, and it's actually a good album, but it's like, so it's just, yeah, it's exactly that. It's so dumb. It's like, oh, the sort of person that listens to this is a fucking 60-year-old man that's midlife crisis and he's driving a convertible and all this sort of stuff. I was like, this sucks.
But that's,
this sucks.
Yeah, that's
as a
kind
review.
Of the opposite. That's like the inverse of what I'm talking about, where like, that is the boring opinion. That is the, like, that is the thing where you just go, this Beyonce album's great, because it's like just dunking on the Rolling Stones now in 2024 and going like, this is old man music. It's like, yeah, that's easy. Do you know what I mean? That's like, that's probably what the man on the street thinks. So it's more interesting to go like, this is the fucking, the contrarian stance would be, this is the best album that any band has recorded in the last 20 years.
Yeah. It's, well, I think it's almost contrarian because it's legit a good album that it's got decent reviews from everyone else. Because it's actually good. Like, I really like Rolling Stones, but the last bunch of albums they made kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And then this one is actually a good one where it's like, I cannot believe this is good.
Yeah.
Because these people are 80 years old. Who makes good work in their 80s?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
This is insane.
I've been listening a lot to the new Black Keys album that I really like, and they put a video on their Instagram kind of going through all the reviews it's gotten, and it's like kind of done like it's an old TV ad, and it's like Mojo Magazine says it's a stunning return to form, and it's like them, it's like the two guys in the band being like, yeah! And then the next one is like Uncut Magazine says this band used to try and now they just sound like crap. And then it's like a picture of the record on the ground and just piss streaming onto it. And they just keep going like one for one with like review, bad review.
Yeah.
And then it'd just be like the record just being covered in piss and then cut into the two guys in the band like, aww. And I was like, that's a funny, that's good. Like that's, you
that's
know,
funny.
Getting a split of reviews and being like, hey, let's just lean in.
Do we still get reviews on YouTube, on not YouTube, on iTunes?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think you can still do that. You can do them on, I think more people tend to do them on Spotify. Spotify has their own like review section.
Okay.
And what Spotify does, which I think is fucking revolutionary, you can't review something unless you've listened to like three eps minimum of it or something it has to be. You can't just get on and be like, I don't know these guys, but fuck them, you know, zero stars. You have to actually have engaged with the product in order to leave a review. What a novel idea.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Do you know what I... man, hey, so look, Lisa Longley, we haven't really talked much about your name, but this is all inspired by you, and we will get back to you because, you know, Tommy did say that your last name was that of a basketballer, so that's something.
That's something.
Also, Lisa Longley is, like, pretty cool with the two L's there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But review-wise, do you know, this is literally something I did a couple of weeks ago, which is, yeah, I find very funny. Someone came in to Basement Comedy Club, and I'm doing the door, and I'm checking names off and whatever, and these people couldn't fucking find the right door to get in. Out of 150 people, they came in the back door, and... they literally had to move like fucking stored things out of the way.
Yeah.
Like, there's no lights in the back entrance. There's a fucking velvet rope guarding off the back entrance saying, you know, don't come in. They've jumped over the top of that. They've come down. The back end is like full of chairs that haven't been used and, you know, fucking coffee urns or whatever the fuck it is. They've fought their way through that in the dark, then opened this curtain, then just come in and gone, okay. And I've naturally gone, guys, are you lost? What's going on? Are you trying to sneak in or what? And they're like, no, we've got tickets. I'm like, how did you not find the front entrance? Like, how did you find your way through the fucking shrubs at the back and then get in there? And they're like, I don't know. And they were just like, oh, I don't know. Oh. And then they go, I go, fuck, okay. And I've had to sort of get through 150 people to, like, through the bar and whatever to sort of sort them out. I'm trying to deal with people up the front end, and I'm having to deal with these people at the back end. I'm like, just come over here, guys, and I'll sort it out. I'll tick your name off. And then I said, what's your surname so I can tick you off? And they say, and I won't dox them, they say a name that in popular culture, in entertainment, in comedy even, is the name of a person that is seen as quite dumb. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. And so I go, so I see that name and I'm like, and I'm just exasperated. And I say, what's the name? And they go, this name. And I just sort of go, well, I guess that explains it, doesn't it?
I'm trying to think what the name could be.
Well, I'll tell you after. Okay. And you'll see why I'm not going to say the name.
Yep.
And I just sort of laugh and go, I guess that explains it. And they just look at me and go, oh. And they go and sit down. And after the gig, I find out that as soon as they sit down, because I've had that interaction with them, they've immediately gone onto Basement Comedy Club and given it one star. And I've seen the name.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. So as they've sat down, before they've even seen the show, they've gone, right, one star. And so then I've looked up this person and gone, oh, they have a business on Google Businesses, do they?
Okay.
Well, looks like a certain someone is about to get their first review.
Okay.
Which is one star.
Yep.
And then, so that's happened. And a day later, the husband of this person has then gone back to double up and go one star as well.
Nice.
So we're just doing a bit of one star tag at the moment.
Yeah. And then you've got another account that you're leaving another one star.
Well, then I went I went, you know what? I can fucking up this game for sure. And then I went, and I even thought about putting it out to Dum Dum, but I thought, nah, these guys will go fucking crazy. I better not do it.
Yeah, that's then you get in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, guys, head on out there and check out Rihanna Tard's dry cleaning.
Yeah. Dr. Gary fucking idiot, MD. If you want to leave a one-star review for him.
One star. I went in with a little car up my ass, and when I left, I had even more stuff up there.
Yeah.
One star.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Yeah. There's a medical. It's something
medical.
It's medical as well. I'm like, you should fucking know better than this.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. And I did think about, I just did the one star. I thought about putting a
Easter
blurb.
Egg.
Yeah.
Yep.
Little blurb. Yeah, I went anywhere with a broken toe and they gave me a full lobotomy. One star. Duh.
I've got very few reviews that I've left on Google. Obviously, the Hoi An Blue Eye Taylor
in
Vietnam, the lemon suit that I left on there. I left a good review of the bar at the Hobart Airport because they were closing up when we were coming back once. We were flying at night and our flight got delayed. We were there for like an hour and a half waiting for this flight.
Yeah.
And the bar were just like, all right, I guess we're not going home. We'll just keep serving people beers. And I was like, you know what? That's fucking great. Good for them. They were like literally about to lock up and then they just kind of surveyed the scene. And the situation was the airline going, we need someone to volunteer to get off this flight and we'll put you on a replacement at 5 a.m. tomorrow. Who's keen? And everyone goes, no thanks.
Yeah.
And they go, well, we can't take off until someone volunteers. So then we're just in this fucking standoff with the airline. And so the bar are just like, all right, well, like me and my friends are like, let's just get hammered. Let's just sit here and get fuck-eyed while we wait to see how this pans out.
Yeah.
Because like, who's going to... Yeah. And then someone was like, oh, will you... Do we get any like reimbursement for like getting the cabs like back to and from the airport that we've now got to do another time as well?
Yeah.
And they were like, no. And people were like, well, you could not be making this less attractive of an offer. Like, who's going to do this?
Yeah.
It's like 11 p.m. by this point, and it's like, yeah, you got to be up at like 4 a.m. It's like, well, no one wants to fucking do that.
God. So how did it end?
I think someone just did crack the shits and like...
Yeah.
Ended up going like fine and like left.
Yeah.
But then we got on the plane and there were like 6 or 7 empty seats. I don't know what was going on. No. I really don't know what was going on.
Fucking hell.
I don't know if I talked about this at the time, but then we were walking up onto the plane and my friend through the window of the cockpit saw the pilot just going, just like rubbing his face and it's like, God, you never want to see that. Yeah. This guy's lost the will to live right before he flies.
I feel tired. Cool.
I'm over it.
Yeah. Yuck. Yeah, man. But yeah, of course, there's more negative. It's such a big effort to make a positive review. Like you're going, yeah, I went really out of my way to do a good review.
But that's what I always think, like you only ever do it, you only ever get on it when it's like, oh, this place fucked me. And then it's like, if I'm traveling, I look at reviews. I go like, what's got a good rating?
Yeah.
So I should put more positivity out. I shouldn't just get on there when it's like, this place sucks.
I did that. I tried to do that for a long time with TripAdvisor, but then I sort of, you get sick of it or whatever. But like, yeah, look, we just finished Comedy Festival, Basement Comedy Club. You get to the end of the festival. I remember, like, we got like three good reviews or something. It was just people putting, you know, 4 stars or 5 stars or whatever. And then, like, out of all the, say there was 4 reviews for the whole festival.
Mm.
One of them, and there was, I did the numbers, 25,000 people went to comedy in that venue over that month. 4 reviews, 3 of them positive, one of them going, one of them saying, they said there was a happy hour, but there wasn't one star. Fuck you.
Yeah, God. Yeah, fuck, that's grim.
Yeah, anyway. Lisa,
you know what I found out? I don't know if you've ever heard this, but when I was in Japan, my friend was telling me that... someone had told him, if you're looking for somewhere to eat in another country, Japan, I mean, he was saying like in Tokyo, and you want to find somewhere that's like good and kind of authentic, anywhere that's 4 stars and above, that's not going to be that good because the people that are getting on and leaving those reviews, that's tourists. Like right. That's not going to be like the authentic. If you want the like good places that just like locals go, Your sweet spot is like 3.5.
Oh, really?
Which, generally speaking, you would see that and be like, I mean, that's fine, but that's not worth rushing to.
Right.
But anywhere that's got the most glowing reviews, it's like, tourists have left that review and it's probably fine.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not the most like down to earth, you know, local cuisine. And I'd never thought of that, but it's definitely stuck in my head as a little travel cheat.
Yeah. Well, look. No, look, I've sort of learned that lately. I think TripAdvisor used to be a little bit better with all that sort of stuff, but lately I would look at it and it would say like, oh, the number one place in this foreign city is fucking Starbucks. And you go, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That kind of thing, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's tourists getting something that they wanted from home.
Because, yeah, I mean, who leaves reviews? Like, that you're not going to really have, like, in your own city... You never really think to go, great cafe.
Yeah.
When you're abroad, you're more likely to go, oh, I've got to let other wanderlusters like me know that this Starbucks has free internet and the toilets are really clean.
Yeah. Totally. Well, Lisa Longley, I hope you agree with everything we said then. I hope we represented you well because all of those opinions, you know, when you say, those opinions are not reflective of my employer or whatever. They're reflective of you. Now.
You think that.
Yeah.
And sure, we didn't talk specifically about your name enough, but we did talk for fucking ages. So yeah. That counts for something.
That's something. There was a lot of content there. Some of it was, I think, you know, entertaining.
Mm.
And that was thanks to you.
Yep.
And if you, Lisa Longley, hit me up and ask me who this person was that gave a bad review and that I revenge bad reviewed back, I'm happy to tell you the name of that person.
Oh, yeah, great. Yep. Great.
Yep. And you could go and fight for me as well.
That's a good tier. We'll read your name out with a redacted name and then you get the name. You get the name DM'd to you afterwards.
It would be a good tier where it was like, you know, we famously have got a tier where it's, you know, you get all these stuff and whatever, and then there's just an obscene tier where it's like, you get to fuck both of us, and then the tier over the top of that, more expensive tier than that is, you get to fuck one of us.
Yes.
There should be a tier where you get to know all the deep, dark secrets.
Yeah, yeah,
everything that we've ever not mentioned or cut out of the show, you get it all.
Because this is like, you know, we'll talk about something, and, you know, that relates to someone specific. And we leave their name out or we change a detail for very obvious reasons.
Yes.
And then inevitably, like immediately, like that day, someone on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, so who was that about?
Yep.
And it's like, well, obviously we've left that out for a reason.
Yeah.
We're just going to give it up to some stranger within an hour of the ep going out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you get this tier, you come around, you find out my daughter's name.
Yep.
You find out my wife's name. You find out Tommy's fiance's name.
Yep.
You. Oh no, you said that.
I've said her name before. I don't care.
Okay. Yeah. All the questions that you DM us, and we say sorry. You get to find out everything.
Yeah.
The Cave of Secrets.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I go reverse. I Men in Black neuralize you.
Yeah.
And make you forget Lauren's name.
Right. No, that would be good if you, I give out all the secrets and then you Men in Black me and then everyone knows all these secrets except me.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
That would be good.
Yeah, that's really good. Fuck, that's a good movie. The podcast host, he's done it for 20 years and he gets amnesia and then he has to piece his life together through the listeners.
No,
that's actually great.
through listening to his own podcast. Get through 20 years of his own podcast to find out what's going on.
But does that make an interesting movie? Because then the movie is just him sitting in a room listening to audio.
It's a good movie, but it is a good idea. Because then on top of that, then it's like, oh, yeah, but this podcast is really successful and we need to keep up the podcast. But you can't be on the podcast if you don't know all the in-jokes and all the stuff that's happened to you in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So you need to sit here and listen to this podcast non-stop. You need to listen to fucking 14 episodes a day to catch up.
Yeah. I like the idea, just thinking visually for the medium of film, something happens that erases the history of the podcast. So now he has to, like, travel the country, going and meeting his biggest fans to piece his life back together
so that
he can reboot the podcast and start it again.
Oh, right. Maybe the podcast gets deleted, so he has to...
He gets amnesia. Something happens wherein, in the same event, he gets amnesia and the podcast gets deleted.
it becomes Beacon Rewind of podcasting.
Yep.
He has to recreate all these podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. Traveling around, meeting the fans. So there's something like a giant magnet over the server at iTunes, wipes the records, and then that magnet falls and hits him on the head. So he's forgotten his life.
Yes.
The podcast doesn't exist anymore.
Great.
This, not even joking, legitimately a good movie.
Yeah.
Part Beacon Rewind, part like Yesterday.
Oh yeah. Also, just a good episode to tell the story of the time a magnet fell on your head. There's a good story on top of everything else.
He's thinking, this must be the best thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah, and this is in the trailer. This surely is the most interesting thing that's ever happened to me. And then it's like one of his big fans is wearing a t-shirt with his head on it. He's like, brother, this is just the beginning.
No, it's a tattoo. No, the fan's got a tattoo of him with an arrow up his ass and going, mate, this is the beginning.
Take me home, country roads.
This November.
Yeah, this is a fucking good film. Someone get us financing for this.
Yeah.
Remember when Kevin Smith made that film about the guy getting turned into a walrus or whatever? But the thing at the start of the film is that he hosts a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And this film came out like 15 years ago. It was like very kind of like early days of podcasting. And it was I remember it really being like, really, is this a character in a film? He does a podcast. Like, surely this is like... This is too rich. You know what I mean? It just felt like This has been around for like 6 months, yeah. And now it's like a character in a film. Won't this date really badly? And then it's like, so much of the rot that Lauren watches is like, you know, there'll be a plot on the fucking new Sex and the City where it's like, oh, I'm dating this guy. He's doing a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's always like, look at this loser. And she'll just nudge me and be like, that's you.
Yeah.
Get a load of this.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Lisa Longley. There's a lot in there. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber Andrew Zur.
Zur?
Z-U-R.
Okay.
Never heard anything like this in my life.
Yeah.
Z-U-R.
What do you think, if you're in the film, you're bonked on the head, you've got amnesia, you've got to travel to Andrew Zur's house.
Mm.
That's all he's got. He's got no record of the show, but he does have the list of names from Patreon and addresses. So you turn up to Andrew Zur's house. What do you think he's filling you in about?
Well, that would be good to have to recreate Talking Dum Dum fucking all over again and go back and do the
riffs.
Yeah.
But you being like,
that's a good experiment. We go back to the first time we do Talking Dum Dum and we just do the same names again without knowing, and then we play
them side by side.
Yeah.
To see that's good.
Yeah. How similar are riffs? How long have we been doing Talking Dum Dum for? Like 5 years, maybe? 6 years?
Oh man, at least.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Is there a way of time stamping when we ran into Will Anderson in the street?
Oh, yeah.
And he said, no, but we were doing names before that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Andrew Zur, I'm looking up Andrew Zur. He's not in the Millionaire Club. He's not in the Little Dum Dum Club. By the way, if you subscribe to the show, you can get in the Patreon-only Facebook group, Little Dum Dum Club, Millionaire Club. Or if you're a freeloader, you can come and join the people aware of the Little Dum Dum Club. Not Patreon, just Facebook group. Or you can just be fans of the social page on Facebook or on Instagram. We always put up lots of stuff. If there's anything visual or video-wise that we have, we put all that shit up. Get a part of that, and you get to find out little bits and pieces we have coming up. Join the community.
Mm.
Like and subscribe. Especially because right now I'd be able to find out something about Andrew Zur from being in this group, but he ain't in there. So
maybe he's one of these guys that doesn't have Facebook.
Maybe Andrew Zur's not even his name. Although there is a couple of Andrews. No, there's one Andrew Zur that lives in Melbourne.
Okay.
Now, well, okay. Right. He's locked his profile, so we can't open it up.
Oh, damn.
But he's got a little intro that we can read. Mm. Now, you tell me if he is a listener of this show.
Mm-hmm.
There's five nouns. Melbourne.
Yep.
I think that's a...
That's a big one.
That's a yes.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Weightlifting.
Not so much.
Throwing you off the scent. Educator.
Even.
Colder.
Even colder.
Colder. Okay. Here we go. Retro gamer.
Okay.
We're back,
baby.
I'm
back in. Yep.
Nintendo.
That's sort of the same thing as retro gaming, kind of.
Yes, but also, he shows that he's open to new games as well.
Yep.
I think this is the guy.
Andrew Zur.
Andrew Zur.
Zur, sorry.
Z-U-R. This is the guy. A weightlifting teacher that's into Nintendo.
Yeah.
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 So this is the guy, I think.
A buff gamer.
Yeah. A guy who's fucking crushed several fucking, what do you call them? I don't know.
Controller?
That'll do. Yeah. Joysticks?
Yep.
Whatever they are.
Yep.
Whatever it is you people do.
Yep.
You people hold. This is this guy. And he's got, as his like little profile fucking, thing.
His little pick.
Yeah, his little pick. Nintendo headquarters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. I love that he's locked the page down, but we're still... What do you mean by Nintendo headquarters?
Is that what it is? I don't know. There. Is that Nintendo headquarters?
It's
a building with Nintendo at the front of it.
There's the office in Kyoto that people often get photos with, but it's like, there's not even a sign on it. It's just a completely nondescript, big grey building.
Why? Why don't they have the logo out the front?
Don't know. They don't want people... I guess it's like an era before like Google Maps and people being able to find it out and loiter out the front.
Right.
They want to remain.
Well, it didn't stop you, obviously.
I've never done it.
Oh, you haven't done
I've never got... It's like... I think it's a bit out of Kyoto. So okay. I've never... And yeah, you can't do anything once you're there. Yeah. So I've always just been like...
You can't... It's to stop people from rocking up and going, ringing the doorbell. Is Miss Pac-Man there?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. Well, this didn't stop this cunt, if this is what it is. I don't know. What else could it be?
That photo. It could be at one of the offices somewhere else. It might be the one here out in beautiful Scoresby.
Oh, maybe that's it. I reckon that would be it.
Sure. Maybe he works for Nintendo. Oh. Maybe that's why that's in his thing.
Oh, maybe. Andrew Zur, let us know.
But then... Yeah, it's kind of interesting to just have like a photo of the car park of your work as your banner image on Facebook.
Well, he's really into it. Let us know if you know Parappa the Rapper, Andrew Zur. Let us know. Yeah, I'd love to know. And if you can give Tommy any discounts on I don't know, whatever it is. Whatever it is you people do.
There's a listener of Filthy Casuals who works at Nintendo who's come to some of our live stuff, and he's always like, "Oh, brother, the stuff I'm playtesting right now." Like he's like a localization guy, so he gets sent stuff early because I think he's in like some kind of like marketing-ish capacity.
Right.
So it'll be like, this is coming out in a few months, so you got to get around it and work out how, like the best way to market it here in Australia.
He's like, you wait till you see what Donkey Kong's doing next.
So it is a bit of like, he's like, oh, stuff that's either just been announced or hasn't been announced yet. And he'll be like, oh man, it's good stuff.
The
like,
fucking,
I'm hating this.
The proton pills that Pac-Man's going to eat next month are fucking crazy.
Yep.
Well, Andrew Zur, if you're in that world, let Tommy know, but do not let me know. I was going to say nerd, but he's a weightlifter, so you person that I don't share interests with. Thanks, Andrew. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber Jesse Galbraith.
Ooh.
Jessi.
Ooh.
I like it.
Okay.
And I looked on the UTA, Galbraith. We have had one other Galbraith. So are you related to that other famous Galbraith that has subscribed to us in the past? Part of the famous Patreon signing up to family.
I went to school with a Galbraith.
Never even heard of
this
it.
This is one of them.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if we're about to do the same. You said that last time we had a Galbraith on the read.
Probably.
Yeah. What did you think about the Galbraith that you went to school with? Any remarkable little?
Don't really remember anything of note.
Really, just the
about
name.
Them. Just the name.
Just the name.
Yep. Yeah. I do remember thinking one day, someone from this guy's family is going to give me money.
Yeah.
I just knew deep down.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we want to hear from a friend of the show right now?
No.
No, okay.
We're at work.
Someone's ringing. Someone's ringing.
No.
They might splice this thing up, though. let's
We're working.
It. Let's hear.
Don't answer your phone.
Hello. Are you in Thailand?
No, I'm recording an episode of Talking Dum Dum with Tommy Daslow.
Thailand, that's why I rang your mobile, your messenger one.
No. Hang on, should I be... I'm pointing the wrong bit of the phone.
No, you were at the right bit.
I'm at the right bit, okay, that's good.
Oh, am I on Talking Dum Dum?
Yes, you are. Brett Blake.
Hell yeah, baby, I made it!
Yeah, what are you doing? Where are you? I'll ring you later.
I'm in Dubbo, I'm just driving, I'm bored as fuck, so give us a call later.
Okay, I will. All right.
Bye.
Thank you, bye.
Good stuff.
There you go. It's Brett Blake on the road. Yeah, that's something.
Well, thanks, Galbraith.
Thanks, Jesse Galbraith.
Thanks, Jesse Galbraith.
Yep. And thank you very much. One more. Let's do one more this week, and then let's go. I am pretty keen. I did a quick little run before you came over. Oh, yeah. I got the time wrong. I thought I'd be able to have a nice little warm shower, get ready for you, and then that did not happen.
Oh, you've been sitting there marinating,
stewing. My little cold sweat. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber. Oh, this is... Wow, okay. Well, it looks like it's 2-2. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber, Tommy Comedy.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Finally, another Tommy.
Yeah.
Who subscribes to this show.
And I think this one's got to be worth like 5.
Yeah. I mean, this is from before.
Yeah.
When we talked about... Pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
Someone messaged us to say they... or not messages, posted on Facebook that they listened to you on the Phone Hacks like a while ago and you drop a from before. It's like, yeah, it's been in our orbit for a little while.
Yeah, we've been
it's only recently.
Yeah.
And I feel like we'd talked about from before.
Yes.
And it didn't quite take in the same
way.
No,
it didn't.
And I got to be honest, this time around, I wasn't sensing a lot of enthusiasm for it either.
No, people love it from before.
I think people have gotten there, but it definitely felt like the week after. It did take a while to catch.
Maybe. I don't know. Someone sent us a video where they go, oh, there's a from before in this video.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too. And it's like not,
It's not really that. But worst of all, he sent it and goes, watch this video. And they do a from before. And it's a little bit out of context. But the worst thing was, it was a...
It's a Dungeons and Dragons
podcast,
video thing. Yep.
And it made me watch it for like 2 minutes to get the reference. I'm like, you motherfucking cunt.
But it's also...
I watched these fucking nerds dressed up for a podcast as fucking trolls and stuff. I hated it.
If they had have dropped it as like an actual, oh, they listen to this and they're doing it, that's funny. But it's not at all.
Yes.
It's literally just someone using... those words in a completely different
context. I get
it,
but they couldn't have picked a worse bit of content to make me watch. I fucking despised it. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks, Tommy Comedy. LittleDumDumClub.com. Get your tickets to Brisbane. Get your tickets to the Going Away show in Melbourne. And we'll see you next time.
See you, mates.